Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, and I apologize for missing, I think now that brings my cumulative total as we approach, at the end of February, 6 years that I have been broadcasting here in the Upstate. As we approach the sixth year, I believe that brings me to a grand total of six sick days taken, averaging about one sick day a year at this point. You're welcome. But yesterday was not a sick day. Like, I didn't feel bad. Yesterday basically ended up being, I was sitting on the couch Wednesday night, and you'll hear here in a little while, because after the show on Wednesday, we did our interview with Chelsea Green of the WWE. They're in town tonight for Friday Night SmackDown at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. We're going to not just talk about that, because the show is tonight. On Wednesday, we got an opportunity to talk on the phone with WWE superstar Chelsea Green. And coming up today at 8 a.m. in studio will be the WWE Women's Champion, Jade Cargill, will be here. Really pumped about that. So we were doing our interview with Chelsea Green on Wednesday, and you'll hear it in a little while. I sounded like, and this is the best way to put it, it is a scientific term, ass dude. Like, atrocious. But we fought through it. We got through it. She was very kind and gracious about it. And I got home. And by Wednesday around 8 p.m., I was sitting on the couch with the wife, and I don't remember what part of the conversation we were in, but she asked me something, and I was going to say this is how I sounded, but it would be pointless to try that. I didn't sound like anything. She couldn't hear me. We were on the couch together. She was 4 feet from me on the other side of the couch, could not hear me, and I could not get enough sound out for her to understand what I was trying to say. I had no voice. Zero, none, not a nine, not a decibel. So had to call the boss, or had to text the boss. Wouldn't have mattered if I called him. Had to text the boss, be like, hey, man, there's no point in me coming in tomorrow. He's like, you feel bad? I was like, no, I don't. I have zero voice. Like, it is, of all of the challenges that I have done in radio over the years, doing a talk show while unable to talk, probably the most difficult. It was not a thing. So I apologize for missing yesterday.
Not to worry. In the future, we will have an AI just take your place. And we can program it to be nearly as loud as you are.
Yeah, I don't think AI can replicate the absolute insanity of the show, which is why the show works. Most of the time, why the show works. We have got a lot to get to on this hashtag Friday Football Fiesta. And I'm going to tell you, we are loaded up with guests, because coming up over the course of the day at 7:20, we will play our interview with WWE, soon-to-be two-time Women's U.S. Champion Chelsea Green. She'll fight Julia tonight for reclamation of her title. Then at 8 a.m., we'll be joined by WWE Women's Champion, Jade Cargill. Jade will be in studio. We'll chat with us. You'll be able to see her on the stream. Looking forward to that conversation. And then we have a host.
I don't know. I'm a little intimidated already.
I'm 1,000% it. Listen, yeah. We have had some big SOBs in this building before. Jay Cargill is without a doubt, the single most shredded human being I've ever seen in my life. She's unbelievable. She is a Greek goddess, dude. Like, she's unbelievable.
Now, if she were to put you in a headlock, it might make your throat feel better.
You know, at this point, I'm willing to try. You know, if she would have put me in a headlock, she could also just pop my head off my shoulders like a Rock'em Sock'em Robot. Just a little twist, and your boy's KO'd for a hot minute. Jay Cargill in studio at 8. And then we have a litany of our regular guests coming through. At 7:40 a.m., ordinarily, Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News joins us on Thursdays. But as I was unjoinable yesterday, Lulu Kesson has been kind and gracious enough. She will join us at 7:40 today. Didn't want to push that off another week because of, obviously, everything that is happening in South Carolina with the departure of Mike Shula as offensive coordinator. Yes, the Gamecocks on a bye. They've got some time to figure out what's next, but we'll talk with Lulu to find out what was it that made Shane pull the trigger. I mean, the answer is craptastic offensive numbers. But, like, what was the trigger of now versus last week or 2 weeks ago? She'll give us her thoughts at 7:40. At 8 o'clock, as mentioned, WWE Women's Champion Jade Cargill. At 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will join us. We'll set up the Carolina Panthers, a shock win last week on the road at the Green Bay Packers. Carolina trying to turn this into something now. They are on a win streak of games started by Bryce Young now. A multi-game win streak of games started by Bryce Young. So we'll talk with Rashad at 8:40 about the Panthers' win last week and their next contest. At 9 o'clock, the fellas from the Moving the Chains podcast will pop by. The boys from the Moving the Chains pod will set you up for the Friday night lights football schedule, give you some thoughts and prognostications as we inch ever closer to the high school playoffs.
No, this is the playoffs.
Oh, the playoffs start tonight?
I do believe this is the playoffs because we do not have a Burns game. Burns got a first-round bye.
That's right. Yeah. You're exactly right. So we'll talk to the Moving the Chains fellas about the opening round of the high school playoffs at 9 o'clock. At 9:20 this morning, we will be joined by the illustrious, the iconic Denton Day of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. We'll get his thoughts on the departure of Mike Shula. We'll get his thoughts on everything happening around college football, which, by the way, we have talked a lot. Let's get into it. We have talked a lot over the past few, really, weeks about the college coaching landscape. And one of the things that we have discussed is how many schools might have fired their head coach in or during this upcoming off season, but will ride it out one more year because of just how volatile the coaching landscape, the coaching market is this off season. As we have mentioned, 25% of teams in the Southeastern Conference do not have a head coach for this offseason. 25% of the SEC don't have, and that's the SEC. Those are supposed to be the most attractive jobs in the country. Even low-level SEC schools are supposed to be attractive. And 25% of their schools don't have a coach. And that's before we add Virginia Tech, Cal, et cetera, et cetera. The University of Wisconsin is a bad football team right now. And we talked about Luke Fickell, their head coach, earlier this week. The belief is that Luke Fickell would likely be out at the end of this year. It just has not translated at Wisconsin to what they hoped it would be. Lonzo has pointed out the guy has had levels of success at other levels of football over the years. But he had a run at Ohio State, didn't work out. Now he's at Wisconsin. He's 2-6. They are 15th in the conference. They are 0-5. They share a record with Penn State, who just fired their coach. And they are 0-5, whereas Michigan State and Purdue are 0-6. They are 2-6 overall. Michigan State has a 3-6 record. Purdue has a 10-7 record. A 2-7 record. And Penn State has a 3-5 record. To put that into comparison, Rutgers has 4 wins. Maryland has 4 wins. Nebraska, Illinois have 6 wins. So, Luke Fickell is not going, is not leaving Madison, Wisconsin. Pete Thamel put out a tweet yesterday that said Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell will return to coach the Badgers in 2026. According to athletic director Chris McIntosh, the move comes with a significant increase in financial investment. McIntosh told ESPN, quote, Chancellor Jennifer.
That's a pretty cool name.
Okay, let me tell you why I went to Jennifer, which is a great name. It sounds like something out of The Witcher. Jennifer Mnookin. Her last name is spelled M-N-O-O-K-I-N. Jennifer Mnookin and I are aligned on significantly elevating investment in our program to compete at the highest level. We are willing to make an investment in infrastructure and staff, as important as our ability to retain and recruit players is in this era, end quote. So this is, I actually am intrigued by this, because on one hand, Wisconsin is a program, it's a very proud program, and Wisconsin is a program whose fans expect and demand better than they are getting right now. What is interesting about this is the rest of the statement by AD Chris McIntosh. Because the way that it sounds to me is that there's almost a defense of Luke Fickell here. There's almost a defense of Luke Fickell in that McIntosh makes it sound as if Wisconsin maybe hasn't invested in their program the way that they feel that they need to invest in the program in order for the program to be successful. When he says, Chancellor Mnookin and I are aligned on significantly elevating investment in our program to compete at the highest level. I don't know, and I will be honest, I need to go look this up. But these types of things, they take a very long time. To be able to dig through the athletics department budget or even to find people who have done so and are capable of laying it out in an obvious and empirical way that is understandable. It takes some time. And I just didn't have it yet. But I am very interested to find out if Chris McIntosh is effectively saying here, we have not invested in the program in a way that would give Luke Fickell or anyone else a chance to win, or if this is being utilized as a shield, because there are a lot of people, and I will say that I'm not in this camp, but I'm standing out in front of the entrance of this camp considering walking in. There is the question mark of, is Wisconsin sticking with Luke Fickell when the fan base is genuinely unhappy with where they are right now? Is Wisconsin sticking with Luke Fickell because they truly don't feel that they have invested in the program in a way that will allow them to compete the way that their fans expect to? Or is Wisconsin saying that they will invest in their program because the reality of the situation is that they can't afford to have a new staff come in right now? And again, there's at least one school, Florida State, that would have pulled the trigger on a head coaching termination 2 weeks ago, but they did not have the buyout money and no booster stepped up to provide it. LSU pulled the trigger, according to WDSU New Orleans. LSU pulled the trigger because a booster stepped up and was like, yo, I will fork over the lion's share of the buyout to Brian Kelly to make the move. So the question is, when you have right now, I believe we're at, what, either 10 or 11.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. I think this factors in the fact that we have so many vacancies in, especially with teams that I think most would believe are a higher, I don't want to say higher standard, but if you have a chance to go here as opposed to Wisconsin, there's a bunch of teams before ahead of Wisconsin. So it's like, who are they going to get if they get rid of them? And I think there's quite a few teams that might have gotten rid of their coach and still would consider it at the end of the year that won't because of all those vacancies.
I think that
this is historic as far as vacancies go. So.
Yeah, we've never had this many open in the regular season. And again, like, I don't know what, even if that wasn't enough for you, the fact that a quarter of the Southeastern Conference's jobs are open right now is unreal. I never would have thought that would have been the case. So when we look at this news about Luke Fickell in Wisconsin, I think it is fair to ask the question, are they keeping Luke Fickell because they believe in Luke Fickell? Are they keeping Luke Fickell because what McIntosh said, what the AD said, is true? That Wisconsin has had a revelation that we just haven't invested enough in the program for anyone to be successful? Or is it Luke Fickell is staying because they're looking around at the landscape and saying, we don't know what else to do right now. We don't know what else to do right now because of the fact that there are so many jobs open. Now, I will say this. If Wisconsin reached the heights that Wisconsin has reached before, there's a lot of jobs that are open right now that I think Wisconsin would be a better job than. I think Wisconsin should be a better job than Cal. I think Wisconsin should... I'm willing to tiptoe up to the line of Wisconsin should be a better job than Virginia Tech. There are jobs. I don't know if I would say they're better than all of the SEC schools, but you could argue Wisconsin could be better than Arkansas.
70s and 80s for sure. Wisconsin was up there.
I mean, I would even say into the 90s, they were at least relevant.
Back when,
right?
Barry Alvarez was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the last time the program seemed to be relevant and up in the higher echelon.
Yes, and I will say that Wisconsin is kind of interesting in that, you know, in this, we've talked about this in the South. The South is college football first, right? I have pointed out before, the reason that LSU is such a great job is the recruiting of kids that grow up in Louisiana, and they are Tigers. As somebody from Louisiana, I can tell you convincingly, the people in Louisiana care more about LSU than they care about the Saints. That's just because the school's been around a century and a half or whatever it is. Wisconsin, I am not from Wisconsin. In fact, I've never been to Wisconsin. But I have had...
I would say I have no interest in ever going to Wisconsin.
I do want to go to Lambeau. You don't want to go to Lambeau one time?
When? In the winter?
No.
No thanks.
No, but Lambeau is very much on the NFL bucket list for me. I will not make the mistake with Lambeau Field that I made with Yankee Stadium and not going. I also don't think Lambeau's going anywhere. But the point is, Wisconsin's kind of an interesting place because it's kind of a hybrid. Like, they care about the Packers before everything else, but in my experience, the people from Wisconsin love the Badgers. Like, they care about the Badgers. And so there's this thought of, if they're not being invested in enough, like if they truly believe that they are not being invested in enough, then I suspect the people in Wisconsin would be willing to step up and invest in the program. But there is this little part in the back of my brain that says they are scared to make an experiment higher. They are scared to go find a Dan Lanning, a Clark Lee, a Brent Key. They are scared to go find somebody that is maybe not a name, maybe not a proven commodity, and roll the dice of this person is the guy that can elevate us back up. I just don't understand how you land on, well, he's going to win 2, maybe 3 games this year. Let's give him another shot. With that being said, the strategy of, if this is what it is, Chris McIntosh saying, hey, nobody could have won here. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the investment. Is that true? Or is this a defense? Because if they're unwilling to fire Fickell and move on and go experiment with another head coach, then this would be the AD covering himself up, right? Giving himself a shield. No, guys. We're really ready to make the experiment. We just don't have the money in place to do it right now. I want to talk more about this later on in the show. We're going to talk heavy college football in hour one because Chelsea Green at 7:20, Jade Cargill at 8 o'clock, Lulu at 7:40, Rashad Beard at 8:40, Moving the Chains at 9, Denton Day at 9:20. We are stacked, racked, locked, and loaded for the you hear me? I'm falling apart already. For the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment, the Rob Brown Show is live on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
There is not a discussion in college football, to me, that is more interesting right now than the predicament that many colleges are in when it comes to the decisions that they have to make about their head coaching spots, right? And Wisconsin is kind of the most recent. And I think right now Wisconsin might be the most interesting because Luke Fickell, as mentioned, it's just not working out at Wisconsin right now. And I think that if this was, hell, even last year, Luke Fickell is probably already out at Wisconsin. He has been there since 2023. In his first season, they were 7-5. They lost in a bowl game. In 2004, they started 5-2, then they lost five consecutive to end the season. They ended 5-7, and Wisconsin missed a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. They also lost all three of their trophy games, their big rivalry games, by large margins. And what was interesting then is that after 2024, Luke Fickell received a contract extension. Now, Wisconsin is doing something that is unique, to some degree unique. Certainly, I would say, I'll say probably unique amongst the big schools, in that Luke Fickell has been largely working on an almost year-to-year contract with Wisconsin. So he got a contract extension after last season where they were 5-7, missed a bowl game for the first time in 22 years, and lost all three of their trophy games, their big rivalry games. I would think that if there was a time that Wisconsin would say, this isn't working out, the heels of a 5-7 season, the heels of missing a bowl for the first time in 22 years, the heels of having all three trophies of your trophy games being outside of your stadium, that would be the time that you would say, all right, it didn't work out. It's not working out. We've got to move on. But this is, as we have mentioned a number of times, this is a tough year in the coaching market. And while Wisconsin is certainly not the most attractive job out there, it's not the most unattractive either. Like it's probably somewhere square in the middle right now. LSU, Florida, Penn State, Auburn. I think all four of those jobs, I would say, are probably more attractive than Wisconsin. But is Stanford, is UCLA, is Virginia Tech, is Oklahoma State, is Arkansas? And then you've got to take into consideration the other FBS schools. Colorado State moved on from Jay Norvell. UAB moved on from Trent Dilfer. There's a lot of jobs that are open right now. And so, with that being said, if you're Wisconsin, I think you look and you say, okay, we're in the middle of the pack in terms of attractiveness. We're a big school. We've got certainly a bigger alumni base than a lot of these other schools do. And on top of that, we've got Big Ten money. Like, we've got Big Ten money coming in, conference money coming in. We're good on the money front. And if that is the case, then the question mark would be, why not make the move? This is why the comment of Chris McIntosh is so interesting to me. McIntosh saying, we are committed to a massive increase in investment in the program. All right. Is this a shield for Chris McIntosh? Because what I don't think fans will want to hear is, hey guys, we know you are unhappy with Luke Fickell. We're unhappy with Luke Fickell too. We know you are unhappy with the results of the program. We are unhappy with the results of the program too. We know that you are disappointed in last season. We know you were disappointed with this season. We are too. But one of, I think, two outcomes have to be true. Either A, what McIntosh is saying is the truth. The truth being, we haven't invested in the football program enough to be upset about this result, right? It's kind of like when your kid comes home with a D on his history exam and you go, I'm really disappointed in that. And then you think about it and you go, I didn't see you crack a history book all week. I didn't see you studying at all. I didn't see you learning anything all week long. So why would you have expected anything else? You didn't invest the time to be ready for the test. And if that is the truth, if that is the case, obviously that falls on Chris McIntosh and it falls on those in charge of the budget of the school, but it gives them an out.
Have you heard anyone ever do this before? Because I don't recall the people above a coach saying, hey, it's our fault.
Very rarely are you going to. But see, the reason that I think it might be a possibility is because they are looking right now at a lack of success.
It is new territory. I mean, you still got to throw that out with NIL. It's still fairly new, and with the revenue share and all that stuff.
The rev share is new, but I'm going to say, maybe this is just me. The NIL in the portal's old now. Like, that's not new. That's old. It's been in place as far as the portal goes, we're almost 4 years into it. That's not new. If you haven't, this is one of the things that I have been shouting about. You want to know why? And this kind of to relate it close to home. I think one of the reasons that people have been frustrated at the hesitancy of Dabo Swinney involving the portal is it's not new. The novelty has worn off of it now. It is not a new feature. At this point, if you haven't figured out how to navigate and succeed in the portal, it's because you don't want to. And I think that that's where I am now.
But it makes it sound like maybe Luke is like, hey, we need this. We need it. You know, all these other teams are getting this. We're not getting this. And they've just kind of went like, yeah, you don't need this. So maybe as what Dabo's accused of, maybe the higher-ups in Wisconsin are doing the same thing.
Well, the thought for me is when they say investment, though, like, I think it would be one thing. Penn State has come out and said, you know, we got to attack the portal. We got to attack NIL. We've got to be more aggressive on those fronts. This guy isn't saying, Chris McIntosh, the AD at Wisconsin, isn't saying we need to invest more in the portal, more in NIL, more in rev share, whatever. He's just saying we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the facilities. We don't have the roads laid just in terms of running a football team that are needed for us to be a front-running power. We just don't have the infrastructure here. which is if I was a head coach that was trying to keep my job, and I was in the position Luke Fickell is in right now, that would be a defense a coach would use. Look, man, I'm doing everything I can, but at the end of the day, I just don't have the resources that Ryan Day has. I don't have the resources that Matt Rhule has. I don't have the resources that other schools in this conference have. And if I don't have the chance to run with the same resources that all these other schools have, how do you expect me to stay on board? But this is the AD saying it. And to some degree, not exclusively, not full autonomy and authority, but to some degree, he's the one that is the reason it is the way that it is. So, and I'll tell you what you're not going to get, whether it's true or not. You're not going to get an athletic director who grabs a microphone and says, hey guys, look, we know you're unhappy with last year. We know you're unhappy with this year. I'm unhappy with last year and this year as well. But, guys, there's like 14 jobs open. And, like, who the hell do you think we're going to get? Like, how do you think we're going to attract people here? You can't say that. You can't come out and say, there's too many other jobs for us to believe that we can land a coaching candidate that we trust and believe in. And I think schools are going to be hesitant to not get Willie Taggarted, to not get Will Muschamped, to not get themselves into a spot where they're just getting a guy for the sake of having a new guy in. It doesn't even get better, because here's the thing. You could go, why wouldn't you gamble? Why wouldn't you risk it? Why wouldn't you go find a young, hot offensive coordinator and give him a shot? And the answer is because if you get it wrong, you've got to buy out, you've got to pay to Luke Fickell, and you've got a new head coaching salary. And if you get Willie Taggarted and he's out in less than a year, now you got a new buyout on top of that as well. You know, it's one thing to go $56 million buyout for Mike Norvell. It's another thing to go, all right, $22 million buyout for Billy Napier. But also they're still paying Jim McElwain, and also they're going to have to pay whoever comes next. And if that guy sucks, they're going to have to pay three buyouts plus. You see what I'm saying? Like, those things start to compound. I would rather say, well, I think Chris McIntosh would rather say, we're just going to keep the deal we have in place. We're going to wait one more year till there's a bunch fewer jobs open, and we are more attractive in the grand scale of open jobs to get the next guy, and not stack a buyout plus a new salary, plus if that guy sucks, a new buyout and a new salary. I don't know. We'll see. All right, when we come back, let's start looking at some of the football weekend upcoming. We've got Chelsea Green for you at 6:20. We've got Jade Cargill at 8 o'clock. Lulu Kessin, 7:20. Lulu Kessin at 7:40 talking Gamecocks. Rashad Beard at 8:40 talking Panthers. 9 o'clock, the Move of the Chains fellas. 9:20, Denton Day talking college ball. All of that on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Busy, busy schedule on the radio program today. Coming up in about 40 minutes, we did an interview earlier this week with soon-to-be two-time WWE U.S. champion Chelsea Green.
20 minutes. You said 7:20 we were playing.
7:20. Right. That's there. In 40 minutes.
That would be 40 minutes you're out. No, actually, it would be 39. I was wrong. My math was incorrect. I apologize.
We're going to get there. It's early. We'll talk to Chelsea Green coming up in 40 minutes from now.
I'm going to leave right now. Do you want me to leave right now?
No, I don't, because then I have to come over there and do your job, and I don't want to do that. Coming up at 7:40, Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News. We'll talk South Carolina Gamecocks with us. We'll get her thoughts on the departure of Mike Shula. Coming up at 8 o'clock in the a.m., WWE Women's Champion Jade Cargill, will be live in studio. At 8:40, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will talk Carolina Panthers with us. At 9 o'clock, straight up, the Moving the Chains fellas will set you up for the first round of the South Carolina High School football playoffs. Then at 9:20, Denton Day of college football overtime on Sirius XM Radio will pop by. We'll talk to Denton Day, get his thoughts on the upcoming college football weekend, as well as the situation with Luke Fickell in Wisconsin. South Carolina moving on from Mike Shula, where Clemson goes from here after the loss to Duke, and more. Now, let's talk about some games upcoming this weekend. We do have one top 25 team in action tonight. The USC Trojans are taking on Northwestern. USC at 6-2, 4-1 in conference, is technically a game and a half out of the Big Ten championship game right now. They are a game and a half out because they are a half game down to Michigan, who is 5-1. And they are a full game back of Ohio State. Sorry, I should say 2.5 because Indiana is 6-0. They play Indiana tonight. A win for USC tonight would create a spot with a win over Northwestern where they are 5-1 in conference play, which would have them tied with Michigan and with the tiebreaker in hand over Michigan, because they did defeat the Wolverines 31-13 3 weeks ago. Meaning that USC technically would be in third place in the Big Ten, ahead of Michigan, ahead of Oregon, at least until the Ducks get another conference win, and they are both 5-1. They play Oregon at Autzen Stadium in the penultimate week of the year. So that means that with a win tonight over Northwestern, USC is by no stretch of the imagination out of the running for a Big Ten championship game. And so I think the question then is there a path to the college football playoffs for Lincoln Riley and the Trojans? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. It will come down, I believe, to that game at Oregon, assuming everything else goes their way. Assuming they are able to beat Northwestern tonight, that game is at 9 o'clock. Assuming they are able to beat Iowa next weekend, that game is at USC. Then it really does come down to a road win against Oregon. If they win out, it is going to be up to Indiana and Ohio State if USC goes in or not. And then it really does come down to what do Indiana and Ohio State have left out of them? I would put it this way. If USC wins tonight and USC is able to knock off Iowa and Oregon on the road, which, will it be tough? You're damn right it will. Autzen Stadium's a tough place to play and win. But Indiana's already done it. So there's a chink in the armor there. If they do that, then, considering that they have the tiebreaker over Michigan, Lincoln Riley's a big Michigan Wolverine fan. Because with a win tonight over Northwestern, they're 14.5-point favorites. With a win over Oregon on the road in the second to last week of the year, and assuming that they don't bleep the bed against Iowa or in their final game against UCLA, a Michigan win over Ohio State could have the USC Trojans in the Big Ten title game. Legitimately, there is a path there. And the path involves the Oregon Ducks losing to the USC Trojans at Autzen Stadium. And as we have mentioned a few times, they've already lost one game there to the Indiana Boomer Sooner, or excuse me, the Indiana Boomer Sooners. What's wrong with me? The Indiana Hoosiers. So the answer is yes, but it does, and it will come down to that game tonight at home against Northwestern. Looking into this weekend, Indiana is at Penn State. This is one of two Penn State games that I think coming into the year you would have looked at and said, game of the year possibility, right? Like, if Ohio State is the bee's knees, Indiana-Penn State might be the other game to determine who is in to the Big Ten championship game. Now, it might be if Penn State was to pull the upset over Indiana. And I would go so far as to say, I do think Ohio State is a little better. I like Indiana a lot, but I think Penn State's a little better than Indiana. And Penn State, despite the fact that they ultimately lost to Ohio State 38-14, so I'd make the argument, they had to have you nervous through halftime and a little bit of the third quarter because they just would not go away. Like, Penn State was just hanging and hanging and hanging around. In fact, it was not until late third quarter that the Ohio State Buckeyes were able to get outside of a one-touchdown lead over Penn State. We were, I don't know, there were 10 minutes on the clock. Penn State was down 10 with the football at one point before Ohio State kind of finally broke that thing open.
Yeah, it's not the first time this season that the first half was like that. I think it was Washington. They had a little bit of the same problem. One thing that's majorly different this year is no Chip Kelly, thank goodness. So they are able to make make halftime adjustments and then come out and fix what they saw was wrong in the first half. We've seen that happen a couple times this year, and I think last year they were incapable of it. I don't care. It was because Chip Kelly, he's horrible. He's just not good. By the way, Chip Kelly, he's like the offensive coordinator for the Raiders, right?
I believe that is correct.
Wow, look at what they did last night.
Yeah, not God, that game was the game. I want you to know, and this is a true story, I went to bed at halftime. Not like went to sleep at halftime. I went into the bedroom at halftime. The lady was in there watching, what's it called? It's All Her Fault, I think is the name of it.
I think you're right about that.
She's all in on it. She was enjoying it. I went in there, and ordinarily, that'd be the spot where either I'd bring the tablet of truth and I'd put the game on the tablet and watch it while she was watching her show, or I'd go in and she'd be like, here's the remote, I'm going to sleep. I was like, nah, finish the show. She's like, you're not going to watch football? No, I can't watch this game anymore. The game was atrocious. That game was ugly. You know, we said, what was the game 2 weeks ago? I said that might have been the ugliest football game in the NFL I've seen in a long time. I think last night might have been the ugliest game. And how the hell do the Broncos keep winning these games? How do they keep winning these games? I don't understand.
Well, last year, in the last couple of years, the Chiefs have been the team that's done that.
Yeah, but like, you guys win one win scores, but they're like 28-24. The Broncos are now 3-0 in games that are one score and below 20 points scored by the winner. Like, it's not. Let me put it this way. In games where neither team scores I forgot the stat this morning. It was like in games where the team, I got to go find the stat. It was something dumb. But effectively, if you hit the right like matchup of criteria about games that meet the criteria of that game last night, the rest of the AFC is 3-41 this year. And the Broncos are 3-0. Like, I don't know how they keep winning these games.
I believe Broncos and Chiefs is not this weekend.
It is this weekend, I believe.
No, it's not. It's not this weekend because Chiefs have a bye. I believe it's the next Thursday night football game.
Okay.
I believe it's either the next one or the one after that.
I'll tell you, if Kansas City beats Denver in that game, Kansas City's winning the division because the Broncos will have a one-game lead. And they're playing bad football.
Well, what I was going to say
and
is
the Chiefs are playing
this game has a lot of meaning, a lot more meaning than it normally does.
I agree. Broncos get a full week of rest before that game. Chiefs on the bye.
But in the end, I've been a little concerned about Ohio State and their struggles in the first half. But what this does for me, again, Chip Kelly is gone, and I think that's a good thing. There's a reason why Brian Hartline is being considered for some major jobs. This makes me a little more excited for Michigan at the end of the year because I think they can make those halftime adjustments if they find themselves down like they've done before.
Well, here's the thing. You might have to because there is an ever-increasing chance. Like unless Indiana finds a way to go to Penn State and absolutely screw the pooch on this one, if Indiana wins out, which at this point I don't really have a lot of reason to believe that they won't. I think this is probably – and listen, Penn State's – I don't know if you know this. They're not good at football. Indiana has after Penn State, Wisconsin and Purdue, probably the two worst teams in the Big Ten. Indiana's going 12-0, which means that...
By the way, that Chiefs-Broncos game, not on Thursday, but it's a week from this Sunday.
A week from Sunday, okay. Yeah. So we're going to talk some NFL later on in the show. If Indiana wins this game, they're going 12-0, which means there's one more Big Ten championship game spot to be determined. Right now, that championship ticket belongs to the Ohio State Buckeyes. But as mentioned, they have Michigan at the end of the year. And as mentioned, every time we talk about this game, we've seen bad teams beat good teams in that situation. And if a bad team beats a good team, not that Michigan, for the record, Michigan's not a bad team. They're not as good as they were a couple of years ago, but they're not a bad team.
They are still ranked in CFP.
They are.
Yeah, so.
They are. If Michigan knocks off Ohio State, Lincoln Riley and the Trojans can go to the title game. But if Indiana loses to Penn State, I think there's a very good chance they might be left out of this as well. So that game is massively important. Indiana is favored by 14.5, so they got 14 plus the hook. That game is at noon on Fox. Georgia takes on Mississippi State at noon. This game is in Starkville, Mississippi. Georgia should win this game easily. Georgia comes into this game as a 9.5-point favorite. But I would also point out that Texas went down to Mississippi State. And obviously, Texas is not as good as Georgia. But Texas went down to Mississippi State. And Texas was, if I recall correctly, a 6.5-point favorite. Mississippi State had them dead to rights. Down, I think, two scores in the opening portions of the fourth quarter before Mississippi State forced overtime. Texas forced overtime and was able to win it in OT. If Mississippi State plays that same game again, this becomes a moment where the Georgia Bulldogs get to prove we are an SEC contender or we're not. Because I've heard a lot of opinions about Georgia. I've heard the opinion that they're a little overrated, they're not that good, they're just not what they used to be. And I've also heard the opinion, and this is mine, that's a really good football team that is progressively getting better and just haven't played their best ball yet. And that's where I put a team that beat the hell out of a top five Ole Miss team a couple of weeks ago. So this game is one of the more intriguing games because much for the same reason, this game has got potentially an SEC ticket on the line. Right now, Texas A&M and Alabama are both 5-0. Both of those teams have at least one more big game out front of them. Georgia is sitting there at 5-1 in the conference. Georgia is sitting there with a loss to Alabama, which means if they both end 5-1, they can't get there, and they do not play Texas A&M. So they will need some help, but if they even want the opportunity to rely on help, they can't lose this game. And Mississippi State is game right now. Jeff Lebby is, at this point, coaching for his job. He's 5-4. He is 1-4 in conference, and there's a belief that Jeff Lebby could be out. Now, maybe Jeff Lebby gets the Luke Fickell Wisconsin treatment, and they don't let him go because they're like, yo, like we can't be sure we're going to get a guy. We don't know who's out there. So maybe Lebby gets one more year. But a win over Georgia would probably all but guarantee that. And then there is a game that on paper looks like it should be game of the weekend. And that is number 7, BYU, number 8, Texas Tech. I have already told you, I think this is an elimination game of some sort. I do not think Texas Tech is going to the playoff with an 8-2 record. I don't. I think there's going to be too many teams that are 10-2, and I do not think that Texas Tech is necessarily going to be sitting on the resume that 10-2 will get them into the playoff. I don't. If they lose to BYU, they would have one ranked win against Utah, and that'd be it. As far as quality wins go, that's really all they would have. So I think it is an eliminator game for Texas Tech. For BYU at 8-0, I'm not really sure, right? Like, I'm not sure what to make of that. This team is 8-0, but they also have one ranked win, and it is also over Utah. The winner of this game gets ranked win number 2. And that might be enough to get you. That obviously, at 11-1, you'll get in. Maybe at 11-2, even if you win the Big 12 championship game. But here's the other interesting part about this. Cincinnati is sitting out there at 5-1. If Texas Tech loses this game, they go behind Cincinnati. If BYU loses this game, they are on the road at Cincinnati in 2 games from now, meaning that that game becomes the eliminator game between Cincinnati and BYU because the winner is going to the Big 12 championship game and likely will finish the year 10-2, 10-3 with a championship loss. 11-2 with a championship win. But either way, I think you're in. So this BYU-Texas Tech game, it eliminates Texas Tech if they lose. And if BYU loses this game, which they are a 10.5-point dog, I kind of like BYU to cover that. And I'll talk about that later on in the show. BYU's running game is stupid. If BYU loses this game, BYU-Cincinnati becomes an elimination game because it will also become a game that punches somebody's ticket to the Big 12 championship game, and it will end somebody's season at 10-2. All right, we'll talk more about the rest of the college football schedule later on. Chelsea Green joining us here in about 24 minutes. Jade Cargill, WWE Women's Champion, at 8 o'clock. Now, if they handed out championship belts for doing sports flashes, he'd be like Lonzo 17 belts.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. I'm not. Denver Broncos defeated the Las Vegas Raiders last night in an absolute score fest, 10-7. The Broncos are now 8-2 on the season. Bo Nix went 16-28 with one touchdown and two picks, and the Broncos had only 84 rushing yards. However, they held Geno Smith to 16-26 for 143 yards, no touchdowns and one pick. Get you some of that. You should. The Atlanta Braves have picked up the option on starting pitcher Chris Sale, paying him $18 million to remain on the roster in 2026. Sale, who won the 2024 NL Cy Young Award, went 7-5 with a 2.5 ERA and 165 strikeouts across 125.2 innings this past season. And former NBA player and assistant coach Damon Jones pleaded not guilty to charges that he provided sports bettors with non-public information about injuries to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The next round of hearings are November 24th.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.